from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 28th, 2011. Jim Landry is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Breaking Voodoo Curses.
Tonight I want to share with you a unique subject, something a little peculiar. We'll talk about voodoo and the religion of ancestral worship. How many of you know that if you're going to get involved in spiritual warfare, that God's going to paratroop you behind enemy lines? And you're going to have to trust Him. That was a true thing that took place, I think, with the 181st Airborne many years ago during the war. And they had trained the paratroopers to go behind enemy lines, and they had successfully done that. And then the little corporal mentioned to the sergeant when they saw all the enemy around them, say, "Sarge, we surrounded." Sarge looked at him and said, "Son, we're supposed to be. We paratroopers." So you need to know what kind of war you're in. We're in real war. And in the voodoo religion, and I'm only going to be able to just touch just a little bit of that. There's much material that we have here. There are teachings that have been done. The foremost authority I know on DVD and CD teachings on magic would be Dr. William Noe, who was with the camp here 20-plus years, and one of our mentors. In the voodoo ancestral worship are deities that make up their worship team called Orisha. And so they are the mass behind the rituals, and behind those rituals and behind them are, in many cases, the Catholic saints. All right? And so initially voodoo came to the Western Hemisphere over 200 years ago, when the first African slaves were sold in the West Indies. And from there, it was introduced into the United States, resulting in heavy concentrations of voodoo. Of course, voodoo worshipers, primarily in the South, especially in New Orleans, but I don't think anybody is questioning anymore that they're all over the world now. Our children, as a pastor, I have the great liberty to be able to monitor and develop the children as my own children grow. I have grandchildren, 11 of them now, and I think it was night before last, the children, they just bust up the house. Daddy, mama, two grandchildren. I said, "Oh, come on in." And all the children in our home, in our city, all have keys to our home. And that's where I was raised up. I had keys to my parents' home, so even as a grown man. But anyway, so our children, we teach all this. I mean, it's not voodoo every week. I mean, we have faith, tabernacles, you know, redemption, salvation. I mean, but you got to know this too, because if you don't teach them, somebody in the school going to teach them. And they're going to just seduce them on there with their love potion. So voodoo, known as the, always known as the religion of Haiti. I beg to differ a little bit with that, but it is a religion of Haiti. It's practiced also in Cuba, Trinidad, Brazil, of course, Africa, the southern United States, and throughout the whole world. And it also combines an element of the Catholic faith, the tribal religion of West Africa. Primarily, I'm going to probably touch on from the Nigeria Yorubaland tribe part of voodoo, but it's much more larger than that. Once again, we can only cover a little bit. And so some of you are probably a little comfortable right now because you realize you probably think it's an African thing, but I'm going to prove to you today that you have worshipped them. And in music and song, on your sitcoms and your television programs, inadvertently, not even though you did so. Now, I'm not going to go real deep in that because we already got a teaching on that called Orisha. So you can just get that tape. It was done maybe 8 years ago here. So I'm talking about voodoo, but I can't talk about voodoo if I don't tell you who the deities are that they worship in the rituals and how they have infiltrated into the church. You say, "Into the church?" Yes, I will prove it. So voodoo, what do the voodoo worshipers do? voodoo cults, they practice ancestral worship. That is very familiar in some faith. Some of the faiths out there pray to the dead. And so voodoo religion primarily consists of praying and worshiping deceased or ancestors and a complicated hierarchy of deities. The Egyptians did that. Pharaoh did that. God warned his people in Deuteronomy 18, chapter verse 9, out of scripture for this evening. And so God warned his people. He said, when you are coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire. I mean, that's a great fire movement going around here today. You need to be careful with this drunkenness in the spirit. And I think one of the best books I found on this is written by, who just happened to show up today, Jerry McGee. Most ministers won't touch this because they're going to lose your members if you start talking about drunkenness in the spirit. Or that use it divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, this is found in Deuteronomy 18, chapter 9, verse 9 through 11, and I think all of us are familiar with these passages of Scripture. The enchanter, for instance, means to hiss, to whisper, a spell, enchantment. And also in Jeremiah 27, 9, it means to practice magi, or magic. An observer of times and sorcery. So there's a whole lot there in the enchanter. Much of this has synchronized into the charismatic church today, too, under the demise, design of saying this is a new move of God, a new anointing, a new manna. And God says, I got old manna, you hadn't even ate yet. And so there's divination that God warns here, act of obtaining secret knowledge, which is witchcraft. Then the witch. A witch is one who practices magic, to whisper, a spell. Charmer, to fascinate, to cast a spell, to join by spell. A lot of sexual relationships are spawned in the South because of love mating, love potions by a spirit called Habba Habba. Dr. Noah has written about it in his book in the magic section in the rear, probably the last 100 pages. Deals with magic. I have never met anyone that went that far in detail that was a man of God. That's always somebody who practiced it and then they want to write about it. But this man spent several years, because most of the book I think he wrote about me anyway is called Rejection. Yeah. He used to grab me up here, Brother Jim. I said, I'll stay up all night. I don't know what to preach. And this is true. Then I go back here at the camp, I don't know, 15 plus whatever years. I'm in it to win it all the way. I live for this. There's no escape, no running away, no second plan, no second agenda, one plate, one cup. And so then there, the Bible talks about a consulter with familiar spirits, and that's one who makes contact with a friendly or family or familiar spirits. There's a lot of family in the familiar spirits. Incidentally, you'll notice that the word familiar spirit doesn't appear in the New Testament because we all got one called the Holy Spirit. So you don't need none of these other familiar spirits. Well, the Bible talks about here in this chapter of wizards, a male witch, a conjurer, a ghost, pronosticator. We've seen a lot of that now. We've got stuff going on TV right now, women vying for one man and all kind of I wouldn't watch that junk. It said no evil thing before your eyes. And so it's I don't need to go any further. We all know y'all. Everyone in here delivers. If you're not, you came because you know God has pulled you. He's fishing you into it. And so you want to learn more, so you're here for a reason, and that's good. And so a male witch knows many things. A necromancer. A necromancer means to question, interrogate the dead, or pray to the dead also in one aspect. Search and seek to the dead, to worship the dead. It's got a lot of meanings in a necromancer. My background and family was a Catholic, but they didn't really hurt me that much because the devil did a good job with me because after that I became a Methodist. A couple of years after that I became a Baptist. And then when I was in the military, I used to go visit the Muslim places and get patted down. I thought it was cool. I was important. And then one day God saved me. He had to save me out of Pentecostalism first. And I mean, everything, I was just grieved up and everything. I was going to hell. And then God took me out of Pentecostalism, and he just told me, now you can get born again. So I'm born again. Okay, all right. All right, so I had a lot of things there. So I say that in the sense that don't let your past cause you to become bitter, become better. I know a lot of ministers have come out of those type of backgrounds, and they're delivered to the congregation as bitter. They need to know traditional teachings, but they don't want to get bitter about it. Judgment to keep you from walking into the grace and glory of God. So you got to get the judgments out. Or at least grow past that stage. I mean, there's other people who want to hear other things other than how you came out of something. Okay. The Egyptians, they worshiped the dead. They celebrated the dead. I mean, look at the pharaohs, you know. Catholics pray to the dead, purgatory, etc., etc. And some of our ancestors also did the same. God specifically instructed Israel concerning these eight forbidden spiritual practices, and the practices of the practitioners of voodoo practice all eight in some manner or another. The principal evil spirits of voodoo are called the Loa, and they may vary from cult to cult. The Loa are African tribal gods that are usually identified with Roman Catholic saints. While once human, now they have become divine. And the primary African elements of voodoo are found in elements such as food offerings, dancing, to the they arrive at a frenzy state, and then the individual or the individual that is going to be mounted by the voodoo spirit is brought into a trance. I think it's a possession trance, and but their terms, they call it being mounted by the deity. They choose to be mounted. They practice their life preparing themselves for the ritual to be mounted on that particular ritual. During this ritual that takes place, the reason why I'm giving you a little scenario, but I'm not going into great detail, is I'm going to give you this, what I've observed in the Christian church that parallels it. Okay, so I'm not just giving you a line on voodoo. You know? I mean, I don't want you to read a certain thing I got in the book and, you know, indoctrinate you into Satanism and say it's all in the name of Jesus. So you need to be careful what you got in your houses also. I can't really go into detail with that right now. So anyway, while this, these elements are being observed, dancing and the food offerings and stuff like that, something, a very important element has to be present, and that is drumming by the men. There's a certain drumming that must take place. So during the voodoo ritual, each dancer behaves himself in a manner of characteristics of possessing of a spirit, and while they are in an ecstatic trance, perform demonic cures, they give guidance and prophecy, predictions. There's even a movement in our nation right now called ecstasy, trance channeling, trance dancing. And there are many popular TV people that are going around doing big worship with drumming, and then they prophesy to you. I've witnessed similar behavior in a few Christian praise and worship services personally. The deities called up in the voodoo ritual are known as the Orisha, all right? And gods of nature, gods of weather, gods of harvest, gods of iron, gods of water, gods of war, and they require worship. They require it. They want food, foods prepared for them, special foods. They want special instruments, particularly the drums, a special drum called the abata, or an elongated type drum. They have to have that. It is mandatory for their proper worship. Then the person that's mounted must dance to a frenzied state of possession, much like being drunk in the spirit. And voodoo is nothing more than African witchcraft brought to America during slavery. And this, of course, is something that everyone needs to be having broken off of him, because I will indicate in this lecture, in this teaching tonight, that that it has crossed all religious lines. It's crossed all racial lines. It's no respect to a person with the devil. He want to kill everybody. And I've been writing on the Orishas. I've just completed a book about a year ago. We just didn't have the money to publish it yet. And it's taken 20 years of research to get to this point. And so I'm going to give you some things. When I speak to you, some of the stuff I'm reading is 10 or 12 years old because we just hadn't had the time to. There were other things God wants to do, and plus he was teaching me about these deities, probably for work now or in the future. We don't need, some of us get into too much of a rush. Our pastor that I honored and served, and I can say willfully and appropriately, who's gone on to be with the Lord, I think it was, what again, it was 90, 91, 92, is a great testimony. Sometimes we get in too much of a rush. We think like our life will end tomorrow. And so I had the great privilege of serving under him up to his 90s. And I have several other pastors, those 70s and 80s. So we need to take our time and just trust God one day at a time. Only today is promised. So now in the church, in one particular Christian denomination I was a member of for several months, there was a great emphasis on the support of drums during the testimony and worship services. Other musical instruments were used, of course. However, it was believed that these drums, that the drum main rhythm heightened the response of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost power. It was supposedly supposed to sum up the power of God in their midst. As I look back during, I'm saying several years now, 17 years now, in one particular service, I clearly remember the drummer playing his drums along with the piano player, like Wayne Worley used to say, hunkadore, hallelujah. Well, that's way back 27 years ago. But anyway, and the singers were all singing, and there was pronounced rapid drum beats that were going on during this particular service. And by this time, something happened there, something that was a change in his rhythm. But incidentally, for a drummer, there's an original drummer for Voodoo, Santeria, Macumba, Palomonte, and the list goes on and on and on and on. It takes about 14 years for them to master the drum beats. It don't happen overnight. It ain't no such thing as you just got it. You woke up yesterday, I got a gift. All right? You got to earn this one. The devil going to make you pay. All right? So anyway, by this time, the singers and everybody stopped. They began to submit to this new change in the drum beats, which they thought it was the move of the Holy Ghost. And the drummer began to strike the snare drum, strike after strike, over and over again. Sometimes there was multiple fractions to heighten the response. And during this manifestation, several individuals were also dancing with a distinct pattern, what I call the two-step shuffle. My wife says there's no such thing in the Bible as a Holy Ghost shuffle. I say, I know, but I see it. Because she let me know there's no such thing. So when you tell them, let them know there's no such thing as a two-step Holy Ghost shuffle. That somebody didn't come up with that. I said, yes. I said, you're right, Alberta. You're right, Bert. We're broadcasting live, you know. So anyway, in this two-step shuffle, there's a dragging and a scraping of the feet, sometimes turning themselves around. And then when this particular percussionist reached the desired level of his rhythmic stipulation, he entered into a trance, and I remember his head went to the side. All right, his drumsticks remained in his hand on the snare drum. The people would continue to praise the Lord. They were shouting. He was there. He couldn't move. He was bound. He was completely bound. He was unable to move. I began to observe something very unusual with his head slightly tilted towards the snare drum. Saliva fluids flowed downward to the floor, steady, and stayed there. It didn't break. There was no breakage. And they thought the Holy Ghost was purging him. They said, don't touch him. The Holy Ghost got him. And now remember, this is over 17 or so years late. Many of these people have been delivered from there since then. This young man was bound, and there was no one to deliver. And I suspect that many individuals are in assemblies today, where there's counterfeit spirits trying to counterfeit the things of God, and anything that is introduced in the assembly that brings confusion should be suspect, because God is not the author of confusion. And as I look back at the worship service, it left me confused, not knowing how to receive this newly introduced manifestation of what we thought was the Holy Ghost. It just didn't line with what I knew. I was too young to judge anyone. I hate judgment, first of all. I have to deal with a lot of things today as a leader, and so I'm real cautious about that. But growing up, I just hated judgment, so that really wasn't my issue when I was a young man in the ministry. It's more of an issue today because I see and know much, so I have to be careful with what I have. And so I just what is this? You know, I wouldn't think about leaving the church because I saw that, you know, because my heart wasn't like that, you know. I just wanted to love God and learn more, you know. So over the years, I've witnessed what is generally referred to, and I've written this in my booklet. It's called the Holy Ghost Shuffle. But I want you to know I've never personally attended a voodoo ritual. I've never personally attended a ritual or any other type of satanic ritual. But I have received video footage from I did have 2 years of live lectures at a college, at a university, and the teacher was a doctor of anthropology and did a television show and was sent in from Berkeley, which is known for music, and the University of Texas. And when I began to share her deliverance, that cut off our relationship. Yeah, because she was really into the original. Oh, man, you know, so. And so after the second year, we didn't have much else to talk about. I wanted to continue the conversation, but that was cut off. But I do have video footage of actual the garments and the dance. And I'm telling you, you would not see much of a difference if we would have staked up there Christ Holy Fire Church up there. You wouldn't know the difference. You know what that? Holy Ghost dance. You wouldn't know the difference. Just by the words they say, maybe. Instead of them calling on Jesus, they say a chain go. During the Orisha's entry or possession of a selected worshiper in dance, the possessed individual is then placed under the control of a mounted Orisha, whoever is being summoned, and the Orisha spirits begin speaking to the group. And you might think this is a little strange. How can this happen in a Christian group? I'm telling you, prophesying, these Orishas will manifest. They'll prophesy good, sometimes good, not much, but evil, depending on which degree of worship, the food preparations, the heightened state of the drumming, the music and the worship. If they were pleased with that, they were satisfied with that, then they may prophesy good. It's going to be, in Africa, they'd be prophesying good harvest, no flooding. In America, they say you'll get money and a husband. The individual dances, becomes overtaken what is to believed to be the Holy Ghost. Usually entered into a trance, sometimes prophesying to hearers. And doing both of these type of meetings that I've been part of and many more, the worship begins to dance, out of control prior to the rituals arrive, they just dance out of control, just go out of control. And should our dancing unto God be the same dance that is used by the practitioners of voodoo, Santeria, any other witchcraft or satanic rituals? Absolutely not. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. The scriptures never teach the believer to worship God in the flesh, entertaining ourselves or entertaining others. Certainly the Lord does not take full control of our minds to such an extent. These are the work of evil spirits. Now, the Orisha worshippers in voodoo I've observed through video invoke the Orisha no differently than what I've observed in several Christian churches. Believers were instructed to or encouraged to dance. Everybody get up and let's dance. The Holy Ghost is in. Holy Ghost power. And so they are instructed to dance to a two-step shuffling manner to an aggressive, fast-paced music melody and with distinct drum beating. And many of the churches now are getting real popular, so they can afford elongated drums, congas, and bongos. I played all that. I played nightclubs in Japan and America, so I'm well acquainted with which, you know, that music is a very powerful tool. It's the very same thing that Satan said, I draw attention to myself. And he was designed to do it for God. He said, but it's so strong, this thing is so good, I'm going to have them worshiping me. And music can do that. And the drum beat changing the mood of an individual. And drum beat does do that. And I don't have time to go into that because this message is not specifically about the actual deities used in the voodoo ritual, which is the Orisha and what they are and how they need the drum beats. But drum beats are very important. We notice that drum beats were used practically in most of all of your wars. Just go back and study American history, Britain history. You'll see the drummers and everything. It fires you up. It's ready. You ready to fight. All you got to do is pull up downtown somewhere, just stay there about 10 minutes, somebody's going to pass by. All you're going to hear. So you say, well, they listen to them lyrics too.
Yep,
that's the error too. But I'm telling you, this is the thing that caused them to go in and rob that liquor store. And some of us listen to some stuff. We think it's God. You're in there listening to them. Jesus. And then over here, you got brother, somebody else on TV talking about, and God wants you to give unto the kingdom, so if you give, you shall receive. And over here, you're on the radio, you got something else going on. All right, then you got your Bible open, and you just scatter. You scatter. You say, well, I can't study unless I got music on. Well, David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. So you need to be able to study without having music. I'm not saying a little soft music and worship music is not good, but if you have to have that to get there, then don't go to prison. You ain't gonna last. You say, well, I ain't going to prison. I say, well, I'll go wherever you say go. I live for this thing. You got to give up. You can't establish where you want your own righteousness in this thing. So the person that's involved in a voodoo ritual or in a Christian service that I've observed in the past, they have like a drum-assisted testimony. Testimony service, everybody got a word from the Lord, and they're heard by you. One time I walked into the service, and they called me up on the stage, and they actually played a fanfare like you see on TV. And I say, my God, what an awkward feeling. I mean, it just, you know, it was like, you know, wow, it was real fanfare. They had played the music. And I said, man, I was really, you know, I said, how in the world am I going to handle this? And, but anyway, so the people, when they have a drum-assisted testimony, or you have a piano and you're playing it, and you're trying to testify, and it gets a little excited, and they boom, 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 you know. Or they play that little drum beat, whatever. And so many charismatic preachers, without the knowledge of spiritual warfare, minister this way to the souls of believers. And they use the assistance of the musicians. They focus on the assistance of the musicians and the drums. If you're around me when I'm conducting conferences and stuff like that, the people, they mean well, they want to do right. They're not doing anything so much with Orisha or demonic powers, but you'll see me when I'm getting ready to share or introduce somebody, I'll raise my hand to the musicians and say, that's enough. And some of them like to keep on a little melody going while you're talking. And I say, oh, that's enough. They can, you know, that's okay. Some of them just been trained that way. It's not always the demons, okay? All right, but there are some that, I mean, this part of their, that's just the way they was trained. That's the way it's done. All right, so when a preacher is ministering to the soul of a believer with drum assistance and prophesying and using musical assistance, singing, hair flying right there along, the first thing I did when I went in the military, cut my hair, tore off that rebellion off the back of my head. Man with long hair, well, never mind. But anyway, y'all read it. Woman ought to have long hair. Well, okay, anyway. Alright. So anyway, when they're doing that kind of stuff and prophesying and making these big monies and stuff, so that's soul preaching. It's not scripture. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must do so in spirit. Many of the so-called high-profile prophets of today are using musical instruments, singing, drumming, and then they're prophesying to the people, and much of this is Orisha prophecy. All right, and so there's a lot of drunkenness that's going on in the spirit today. A lot of the TV prophets and they have things they call a certain type of water that they drink, and that's an ecstasy. Ecstasy is considered a chemical drug. All right, so they have spiritual ecstasy, Holy Ghost dancing, and drunkenness of the spirit. And once again, like I said, Sister McGee has written a very good book this past year. Somewhere in the last year on that, and I've read, and very few people address this. It's for such a time as this. Some of the things I'm reading from, like Don Bashman of 70, 69, 70, 75, was for such a time as then. He was warning us of what some of the shenanigans and some of the heresies that would be in the church 30 years later, which we're witnessing today. And some of this, not all of the faith doctrine is bad, don't get me wrong, but some of it that's extremism, he was warning them then. Alright, and so there's not a lot of writings on this that's just started the last 10 years. So that's why I'm emphasizing her book on that at this time. Many of these individuals in the church, they really believed as the Holy Ghost and showed up. Many began running around a building. They shouting while others just fall out in trances. You can see a lot of this in different places around the country. Many times the minister will say at the time, if it's a heightened state, power is moving, they're seeing things happen. People might be barking like dogs or whatever. Whatever they might have going on, then he'll call for an altar call. What better way to close out a meeting without and tell everybody you got so many saved? Because that shows I did something. The preacher don't look good when he ain't getting nobody saved. All right, so they're gonna open up the doors. But the same thing happens in a voodoo ritual. They have a period of time during the mounting when the doors open up too for mounting. At the same time that the orisha come into a person, the same time a demonic spirit come into a believer. That's not protected. So the orisha are practitioners of witchcraft like that. They mock the American church when they say the doors of the church are open. The doors of our hearts should be open all the time unto our God. And like I say, I'm only covering a little bit. Get the tape or get the book later. So these counterfeits will usually give words of prophecy, normally judgment. Now we at a point here, you're in a deliverance ministry. You're learning about deliverance. So you already know judgment is wrong. But I'm telling you, some of us came out of this. We just ain't never thought about, well, I need to pray about that. Let's break that curse over us tonight. And that's what we're going to do. Some of us may have never thought about it because we have advanced from that. But we might be carrying the garbage. We may be critical, slanderers, gossipers, because we still bitter from what we came out of and never thought about it. Never even knew we were slanderers, bitters, or gossipers because we thought it was nothing. Just our normal behavior. Just the way we communicate with folks. Let them know who's the man to vote for next week. Whatever. We just like to insert our comments. I call them microwave instigators. Right quick, I got the word for you. And so that was judgments. And in certain charismatic places, judgment is normal. And they consider it to be a divine warning from God. Okay. So, but the practitioners can use some encouragement, but that's not the norm. And all of this happens during a worship service. The music, drumming, dancing causes the individual sometimes several to reach a heightened state of possession. The orisha have arrived and nobody's aware in most cases. And hopefully now they are aware. Over the years, I've challenged the voodoo orisha in individuals that were manifesting doing praise dance. And one young lady from our congregation, well, she's a grown woman now, married with children. I said, where did you learn about praise dance? She said, well, I learned it through an African holiday called called Kwanzaa. I said, okay. And so since she had an African name, I came against the African name. I came against the spirits of Kwanzaa and all that. And lo and behold, I didn't know that she would manifest. The demons would come out. And they were some sassy demons, too. And they didn't like me knowing I know about her. And so those demons came out, and I eventually wrote a book on Kwanzaa, wrote more about Kwanzaa than the author himself wrote about the holiday. Okay, and when he had wrote his book, he had never been to Africa, even though he called it an African holiday. He went to Africa later, and a lot of other mess with him years back. So this is an old book I wrote many years ago. A lot of people that are involved in our youth programs emphasize drumming and musical instruments as far as praise dance. And what I saw was a magnificent expression of praise. A praise dance was probably 25 years ago. With I'm guessing on a year's time, so it's kind of lured me at this point. Wonderful man and woman of God. He comes on TV now selling health products a lot. He used to be a Baptist minister. He failed and God saved and brought him back. Can't think of his name. But his wife, I saw her dance in the spirit on stage about 20-something years ago. I said, well, that was praise dance. I can't think of his name. I'm thinking about, I see him on TV right now. He'd be selling some kind of thing for health. And he'd be interviewing ministers. Jim Baker? Jim Baker's a wonderful person, and but I didn't know he sell health products though. I've seen his show a few times, and I turned over, but it was It wasn't Jim. It was James Robinson. He's come to our city many times in years past. And I'm so glad for these men of God that have failed and come back, you know, like Jim and others, you know, because we need to see that. People need to know that we have a God that forgives our sins, and that that's a restoration. But I remember seeing his wife dance in the Spirit many, many years ago. And that was my first. Somebody else saw it? The apostle, his wife back there? Okay. So I saw it. I saw the holiness expression of it. And some of the stuff I've seen today is performance. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, God shares with his people on the importance of being separated and their preparation before going into the promised land. See, God's people had received the promise that they would have the promised land, but they hadn't really walked into their promise yet. They had to go in and take it. And same thing with us. And it's a likened picture of deliverance. We have received the promise of the Lord. But is there anybody that can honestly stand up and say, I'm totally full of the Holy Ghost? And so we are learning how to walk into our promise and receive all that God has for us. And so in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the Bible says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. In other words, no peace with your enemies, no compromise. If you just leave me alone tonight, devil, I won't mess with you. Nonsense. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, you shall smite them, utter to destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. No compromise. A lot of Christians got compromise curses on them because they didn't compromise with the devil. And little statements like that. Just leave me alone so I can sleep tonight, devil. Neither shall you make marriages with them. A lot of them done that too. spiritual and adultery, spiritually speaking. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For the sake of time, I say, Jerry, you're thinking idols, false idols, everything. So, some of you may be thinking this doesn't apply because you don't have any idols, but we have idols in our heart, you know, and we have to get delivered from those idols. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Trust me, most of our ancestors that came to America didn't willfully get rid of their demonic idols. Some have been sacredly passed down through the generations. Specifically, I'll give you this example. My pastor in Beaumont, Texas, Ed Johnson, and the senior pastor, of course, is Pastor Harlan Dean. We all interrelated here. I'm not going to be without cover. and so I'm confident that that's a very important instrument in God's plan. And I can go places that are not preaching blasphemy and heresy, love Jesus, love the people of God, believe God for healing, may not know a lot about deliverance, and I can get in there until God move me. I don't have no problem going undercover. Even as a leader, I can go. I can go, and I can go comfortably. I love to go and don't have to speak. And I tell people that too. Pastor Johnson began to tell us over the last 20 years, he had this lady, when he came out of the military, he was in college, and she would use him to go and buy black chickens and all kind of special stuff. He thought it was cool. Black lady not too far from where our church is located in our city. And he would ask her things. And then after about 2 years, he asked her how she knew how to do all of these things. Because he wasn't saved yet. And she said it was passed down through her fathers. She was the one that was a chosen vessel. Well, she also had some children that it was going to be passed down to. All right. And I remember asking Ed just a couple months ago, I said, Ed, do you know if those children got saved that she passed that gift down to? Because he even went to her funeral several years back. And he got saved and went to her house and said, Miss So-and-so, what you doing there? God, that ain't right. She said, who told you that? What are you talking about? You know, so it was a little hostile breakup, but he loved her because she did feed him, take care of him, even though he was the one going to get the black chickens and everything she needed. All right, so these people are still rooted into our society, living next door to our houses, and some of them have received the ancestral blessings. They have their little idols. They know how to do these things, and they have synchronized themselves in church because they just feel like they got a gift. And since we in church anyway, all we're there for is to give a couple of offerings and stand up and shake hands and have a special ordained Bible class on Sunday mornings, it's no threat to them. They don't even know that they do anything wrong because they are synchronizing their faith using the name of Jesus. Another name, another Jesus, of course. So they don't see any threat. All right? So I'm concerned about that as a pastor. As I'm getting older in my city, knowing where these pockets of resistance are, even if they're not attacking me. I want to attack them, not just to stir up the ant bed, because I'll do that too in a minute. All right, but I'm in there to try to win these souls. All right, so if I know this family is over here, they was generation from voodoo, and I got proof because one of my friends who's a minister, we used to go there and do it with them. Well, then now I got to take time out. I may not be able to take some of you to pray with me because you may not be to that point yet. Okay, because you might take it personal. To me, it's just God's business. So I got to take out some of my time and pray for them to get that family delivered so they can become evangelists for God. And take no credit for it. They may not ever know that I had anything to do with their salvations. We're in war. Or you could just say they're the enemy and not recognize the enemy, who the real enemy really is. It's Satan. Now, if you see them as the enemy, you won't have compassion for them. Well, okay. And that's in one of the books I wrote, I think, on deliverance. I talk about that, you know, that's very important. And I have it up here not to advertise it. Oh, incidentally, because I want to get some prayers out and pray over the group tonight. And I didn't bring them with me, so I said, oh, they're in one of the books. none of the books that I have over here are for sale. I give them to the camp so the camp can bring in revenue. So if I use my book or a Jerry book or something like that, it's not an advertising tool to get you to buy because I receive no profit from it. My profit is spiritual and the things that God do for me and my family in the ministry. And so we give them. All right. So, all right, make sure. And there's nothing wrong with other speakers coming in who live by the gospel and they have to sell their books, all right? Because I buy them too. All right. So you want to get a good understanding there. Amen. Worthy is the fact that in every country or nation in which these forms of witchcraft are practiced, these nations and their cities are in poverty and oppression spiritually, physically, and politically. Because of their sin, they are often naked, and they have great need and lack because they have cut off from God, and they have cut off from God's ways. In cities today, such as, and I've been to these cities and seen the Santeros, the places where you can buy all these stuff. Now you can buy it at your neighborhood grocery store, all the candles, everything you need to do a portion, right? Money come to Jesus, bring money to me. Just have it typed on your checkbook. Money come home. I give, return back to me. I've seen checks like that. People write a check out, money returned back to me. I was wondering why our congregation wasn't growing. About 100 people coming in, 3 stay, you know. We were doing like sales, you know. Another 200 come in, by 6 stay. Well, that's a Gideon in this work. You are the Gideons. I'm not calling you great men of valor, because God is our valor, okay? And he's the great man of God. But what I am saying is that God thinned the ranks and you part of the 300, okay? If you don't think that way, but I think that way about you. I don't think you can make it in here unless you ought to just explode if you're a witch or a witch doctor. And if you are, I'm going to love you anyway because I think we can get you free tonight if you hang around a little longer. So in many cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, New Orleans, the internet and others, you can purchase a wide assortment of witchcraft, voodoo supplies. Incidentally, your children can do it also on the internet, or their friends. You can buy hexing dolls, special concoctions, ingredients for casting magic spells. You can get black candles, yellow candles, because you get them at the neighborhood store now. Then there's love potions, charm powders. That was a movie came out. I can't remember the names. I didn't know I was going to teach this tonight. I didn't know I was going to teach it all, okay? Just let Patty handle all that and Kevin. And I'm free from that. They can make that decision. And but there was a movie came out 25, 30 years ago. I think it was called Santeria. I think this guy, Mel Gibson, not Mel Gibson, anyway. one of the guys was a star. In the movie, he liked this lady who lived in another apartment complex so he could look over the way. And the Hispanic lady in there noticed that he kind of liked her. He would look from time to time, not inappropriately, but he would look. So she decided to work a little spell in his bedroom and stuff like that, put the spell on the woman, and they got married at the end. He wanted to know how, and then she exposed to him that she had done the spell for him. He was so happy. Next thing you know, at the end of the movie, you would thought they got delivered. No, he would learn how to do rituals. And that's the movie. So they got all kind of charm powers and love potions out there. And you should check around your house, see if you got some things around the house, or some things you might have purchased. And you might Google the names of those things. You know, some things is easy. You know, you can Google milk and you know what you're going to get. You can Google Avon, you know what you're going to get. You can Google a number of things. And you ought to just see, since you're buying all these things, you ought to see what it means. You know, and because some of the stuff may be actual witchcraft or voodoo ritual materials that are being sold now and compromised to society. As weight reduction plans and how to get hair and everything else, but anyway, I'm almost to the prayer part of our session. As history shows, the slaves were generally oppressed; they had very few liberties. So, voodoo worship and rituals became a outlet for their frustrations. The white man, of course, was totally excluded from their rituals, and so the various groups they formed little neighborhood clans. Like in my neighborhood, you got the Pararchy, North End, South End. Well, West End didn't consist of any blacks for many years there. And but anyway, you had these little clans. And so even as a child growing up, I knew that you really shouldn't go into the North End if you, like myself, from the Pararchy, because there was a clan over there that would get you, and vice versa, okay? And so anyway, they had these a lot of things called crossroads. And so these voodoo priests would go out to where the cities came in and intersected at the highways into the city, and they would do their rituals to sanctify and protect their territory. Now we got them on the name of the church, Crossroads. But anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Because that type of name is not significant. Crossroads is not a bad name, but that's what they call them. We're going to meet up at the crossroads. Now, well, I don't have enough research to go into any further on that part. But anyway, so they had various groups and neighborhood clans. Membership in the local cult afforded one protection against the black magic of the other cults, as well as access to magical charms and remedies in case of illnesses or injuries. All right, so although many of these rituals have been slightly diluted today, watered down in ritual practice, nevertheless, the same demons, the same sin against God being practiced when our grandparents, great-grandparents, or slave workers, or whatever, indentured servants, whatever, practice the art to heal us, to deliver our parents, such things as charming the water off of us, or something like that. Voodoo curses against their slave owners often occurred from the clans, and often there were voodoo curses against their slave they would do rituals, but now you don't have to go to a voodoo priest to get some of these rituals done. You can simply go to eharmony.com, or you can order diet pills, but you don't know what's really, what the herbs that are being used in those diet pills. And then there's special chemicals to stop smoking. And in the last days, this will be our competition. You can deal with your shame and your guilt and not accept the fact that Jesus has delivered you from shame and guilt. He took all that to Calvary's cross. It'll take a lot of integrity to come up here and say, I got an issue, I need prayer. And because it'd be easier if you just go buy $2.99 patch, put it on. Well, I don't have that nicotine desire today, and then buy the patch again tomorrow. And so nowadays we got all these other things that can help you find a husband or a wife, or help you with a family sickness. And very few people now know people that own their neighborhood as we knew 20 years ago that was a known witch doctor, Reverend Dr. Feelgood. Reverend Dr. Feelgood now is going to get $200 a month from you every month. you're going to send it to his church. But anyway, after the slaves were freed, curses again were still common, even after the slaves were freed. You know, even the white men and women in latter years visited these known ancestral fathers or voodoo priests or priestesses and asked them to help them place curses on their enemies and or to steal land and much more. And so they paid them to do these rituals and all to help them. So that was an intermingling there, rituals there to that was once used against them now to use to help them, white, black, everybody working together trying to get what they want. And at the base of all cult is self and the god of this world, selfishness, of course.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.